Good morning, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome to Power of Attorney Radio, a fast-paced 30-minute educational program focused on legal developments affecting individuals and businesses. Power of Attorney Radio is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, serving clients in the D.C. metro area and across the country. To learn more about OF&P, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or call us at 703-218-2100. I also invite you to subscribe to my blog, www.blueprintforwealth.org, where there is a plethora of information, videos, articles, and podcasts of interest dealing with taxes, estate planning, and business planning. And of course, we're always updating it and trying to provide you with new and exciting special content. Now today, before we get to our special guest, we're going to be talking about ESOPs, Employee Stock Ownership Plans. It is a critical tool that every business owner should consider as one alternative in the arsenal of weapons in planning, doing your estate planning, doing your business succession planning for the business. An ESOP is a form of qualified retirement plan or deferred compensation plan. It blends retirement planning with employee ownership. It's not really employees that own the stock of the company. Rather, it's a trust that's set up for the benefit of the employees who participate in the plan. If the company does well, then the employees will do well over time. One of the benefits, one of the primary benefits of ESOPs comes if you have a C corporation, a subchapter C corporation. Internal Revenue Code Section 1042 enables qualified stockholders of C corporations to sell their stock to an ESOP and defer or maybe even avoid income tax on the gain realized from the sale transaction. Instead, the gain is rolled over into investments referred to as qualified replacement property. This type of property is a very broad category of property consisting principally of stocks, bonds, or notes of active U.S. corporations, usually those that are publicly traded on major stock exchanges. It's analogous to the manner in which tax of gain from the sale of business property, usually real estate, can be deferred by investing proceeds from that sale into similar like-kind business property, like-kind exchanges. Qualified replacement property can be the key to creating liquidity for the owner and diversifying his portfolio away from holding a single concentrated stock, i.e. your business, and diversifying it into multiple different types of assets. You can also use this type of investment as collateral on loans that are used to monetize the investment. You, in other words, can pledge the qualified replacement securities for a loan that enables you to get immediate access to the proceeds of the loan without having to pay tax. So that is one very significant benefit. Another significant benefit, if you're a C corporation, is under Section 1042, the seller of the stock, his family members, and other 25% stockholders can't participate in the allocation of stock the ESOP purchases from the seller, but absent a 1042 election. In other words, if you choose not to do the rollover election, then these same people are entitled to participate in the ESOP and receive in their account a pro rata portion of the stock that the seller just sold. So if you elect not to use Section 1042 in a C corporation setting, then you can still participate in the ESOP going forward. Now, keep in mind this Section 1042 rollover treatment is not available for S corporations, but we'll talk about the benefits of using an S corporation and an ESOP in a second. You can also channel the sale of the stock through a vehicle known as a charitable remainder trust, and we've talked about CRTs, charitable remainder trusts, many times on the program. You can refer to our archives of old shows to learn a little bit more about these. But the question is how something as far afield as a CRT can work to your advantage if you're a stockholder of an ESOP corporation who essentially channels the sale to the ESOP through the CRT. It goes along these lines. The stockholder forms a charitable remainder trust and contributes to that trust some of his company stock. He reserves from the trust an annuity or a unit trust amount that the charitable remainder trust pays him, usually using income that the trust generates. And depending on the form of CRT utilized, it can include a return of principal if earnings are insufficient to pay the reserved annuity. So there are some significant benefits out of coupling the use of a CRT with an ESOP. And by the way, oftentimes the tax benefits that you get out of using one of these charitable trusts, you can take those benefits and form an irrevocable life insurance trust, purchase insurance to replace the lost wealth that at the end of that charitable trust will go to a 501c3 charity. Okay, so that's another benefit of using an ESOP in a business planning succession situation. How about the fact that you, as a C corporation, can actually deduct a dividend that's paid on ESOP stock? If the dividend is considered reasonable and it's paid by the C corporation on stock acquired by the ESOP, the C corporation can claim a dividend deduction. Now, this is unusual because C corporations, as many of you in the tax world know, do not get to deduct dividends. So this is pretty much the only time I can think of when a corporation can actually deduct a dividend on ESOP-held stock. You can also get long-term capital gain rather than ordinary income as a participant in the ESOP if the fair market value of the stock held for your benefit inside the ESOP exceeds your adjusted tax basis. That creates what's called net unrealized appreciation. And that means you can actually distribute out the stock from the ESOP and qualify for long-term capital gain treatment on any future appreciation in the stock. Now, since 1998, and I'd mentioned this a second ago, ESOPs have been allowed to be stockholders in S corporations. The S corporation, of course, is a type of corporation for tax purposes that allows profits and losses to flow through to the shareholders, much like a partnership. So if an ESOP is allowed to be a stockholder in an S corporation, it will delay any tax on their share of the S corporation's taxable income that's allocated to the ESOP until the ESOP actually makes distributions to the plan participants. Moreover, the ESOP's share of the corporation's active business income is not going to be treated as unrelated business taxable income like it would normally be if a pension plan or a profit-sharing plan received active business income. In other words, it escapes a flat 35% tax just because it is an ESOP. So this is a significant benefit. The more stock that's held by the ESOP, just imagine, the more stock that's held by the ESOP, the more taxable income can be deferred, if not permanently deferred, to the participants of the ESOP. So let me give you an example. Let's say you produce $1 million of net income and the ESOP owns a share of the S corporation. Let's say you compound that $1 million of net income at a very aggressive 12% for 10 years. If you do that, it would normally grow to over $18 million, meaning that all of this is accruing and growing income tax-free. The same income produced by a taxable C corporation results in a reduction of that growth from 12% to 7.2%, 12% less a 40% tax rate, in other words, and accumulates instead of to $18 million, only to $8 million. So the benefit of putting stock inside an ESOP is quite significant. You can actually use an S corporation with an ESOP and couple that with other types of equity incentives like phantom stock, stock appreciation rights, and stock options. Now, family businesses also are going to benefit from the use of an ESOP. Family business is one that's owned and operated, say, by one person that's usually still married who has kids who may or may not be actively engaged in the business. While it's common for family businesses to have some non-family stock and maybe some SARs and some phantom stockholders, in the eyes of the parent, control is very important and may be even more important than actual outright ownership of the stock. So when an ESOP owns stock of a corporation, the control factor is really important because some or all of ownership is in a trust, the Employee Stock Ownership Trust, and the trustee is appointed by the board of directors of the company. Now, of course, there are negatives to using ESOPs. For example, you have a situation at some point in time, people are going to be leaving, participants in the ESOP are going to be leaving the company, and even while they're still employed, they may be entitled to force a diversification up to 25% of the company stock in their account at age 55, for example, if they've worked for the company for at least 10 years, and then maybe an additional 25% at age 60. These are under the ESOP rules. So it forces a sale, potentially, of the stock. When that time comes, the ESOP participants are going to be entitled to either be paid an amount equal to the appraised value of their shares, or to have that percentage of their account invested in at least three other investment choices, including mutual funds, for example, that have different degrees of risk. So that's one. Another negative is that it's not inexpensive to set up, between $50,000 to $100,000 to set up an ESOP, and it costs between $15,000 and $20,000 a year to administer. If you'd like to know more about ESOPs or other business succession planning tools and ideas, give me a call. I'm Wayne Zell at 703-218-2177, or send me an email to schedule an appointment at wayne.zell@ofplaw.com. You're listening to Power of Attorney Radio.